Dateline Washington. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbas. In this edition, the case against immigration. Mark Krikorian of the Center for Immigration Studies is here to discuss his new book that not only calls for a genuine effort to stop illegal immigration, but also argues that legal immigration ought to be greatly restricted as well. We'll ask him why. Also in this edition, Prude. Our friend and political commentator Carol Platt Liebau joins us to discuss her new book that contends America's sex-obsessed culture is greatly damaging young girls and ultimately the entire nation. We'll hear just how coarse the culture is becoming and how it may be possible to reverse this disturbing trend. Plus, how is your state doing in the fight against cancer? Daniel Smith of the American Cancer Society's Cancer Action Network joins us to discuss which criteria are used to evaluate this and which states are the best and which ones are the worst at helping their residents. All that plus the day's top stories is straight ahead on Dateline Washington. We begin with the case against immigration, and we begin right now. The immigration issue has been hotly debated in recent years, but after all the passion and politicking, very little has actually changed in terms of policy. Our borders are still rather porous, people are regularly overstaying their visas, and some employers continue to hire illegals for the cheap labor. And neither party wants to do anything too strident because of the growing Latino voting bloc. My next guest says we not only need to clamp down on illegal immigration, but we also need to limit legal immigration as well. Mark Krikorian is executive director of the Center for Immigration Studies. He's also author of the new book, The New Case Against Immigration, Both Legal and Illegal. And Mark, welcome back to the program.
Well, thanks for having me.
You argue in your book, first of all, that immigrants haven't really changed too much in what they want in terms of coming to America. But what's radically changed is what's expected of them by us, specifically the government, once they get here. Explain what you mean by that.
Well, since immigration was cut off in the 20s, our society has gone through a whole variety of changes. Essentially, we've modernized and, grown up, if you will. We now have a post-industrial, knowledge-based economy. We have a welfare state and, in fact, government spending on all kinds of other things, too, schools, roads, what have you, all of which depends on tax revenue. Our technology has even changed, shrinking the world with cheap phone calls and cheap airfare, and that dramatically changes the situation with regard to assimilation or national security. And what it all boils down to is that mass immigration was a phase in our national life. It was an important thing we went through, like pioneers settling the frontier, but it's something that we've now outgrown, and we need to leave it in the past. We need to turn the page on this, now unhelpful policy, however helpful it may have been, and in fact was, a century or more ago.
One of the things you talk about in the book is that there was an expectation generations ago that when legal immigrants did come here, that they would assimilate to our culture. They would be patriotic Americans. They would find work and keep work. They weren't on the welfare state, that sort of thing. When did that change?
Well, I don't know if I could point to a date, but I mean, the 60s is probably the best date you could pick for when that changed. And again, it's not the immigrants who changed. People often will say, my grandpa from Sicily didn't use welfare. What's wrong with these immigrants today? Or my grandma from Ukraine wanted to become an American and learn English. What's wrong with these immigrants today? And the point of the book is that, we're the ones who've changed. Welfare, for instance, 100 years ago, all government spending at federal, state, and local level combined was only about 5% of our national income. Now it's more than a third. That's not just welfare, that's a lot of other things, but welfare especially is inconsistent with bringing in large numbers of poor people. And it's not a question of how hard they work, because if you are in a modern society like ours and you have a sixth grade education, it doesn't matter how hard you work. It doesn't matter how many jobs you have. You can never support your family with what you can earn without being subsidized by the taxpayer. And that's not your fault, and it's not our fault. It's just a mismatch. It's a fact that we're taking 19th century style immigrants into a 21st century society.
Mark, talk a little more, if you can, about the financial issue here. You talked about the fact that when the mass wave of immigration happened in the early 20th century, that there wasn't a welfare state. But now with folks still coming in huge numbers, the government is paying for their education, health care in many cases, and other areas. What sort of financial burden are we really looking at here on a comprehensive level, and how long can it be sustained?
Well, it's pretty substantial. I mean, we looked very detailed way just at the federal level. In other words, just federal taxes paid and federal services used, and only those of illegal immigrants. And we found that the cost to taxpayers was something like $10 billion a year. Immigrants paid, even illegal aliens paid, some significant amount in taxes, but they used far more than that in government services because they're poor, they have more kids, especially. Those are sort of the two things that really drive it. And I often hear from some people who support high levels of immigration, they say, you know, you're right, so what we need to do is keep immigration but get rid of the welfare state. And, you know, my response to that is call me when that happens. And it's not even just the welfare state. You have to get rid of public education, get rid of Social Security. I mean, these things aren't going to happen. They're not. All modern societies have a big government sector. The government does a lot more than it used to back when we didn't live in cities and we were spread out more and the population was thinner. And so since government sector is so much bigger and is always going to be so much bigger, you just can't keep dumping more and more demands onto that system without it breaking down.
Mark, most politicians would not say they're in favor of illegal immigration, although many are not willing to do anything about the illegal immigration going on right now. But most of them do say if you're willing to go through the process and play by the rules, that they welcome you to this country. In this book, you put forth the proposition that we should actually limit legal immigration and really only allow people in who can make a real significant contribution. Explain how you would filter who gets in and who would be rejected.
Well, let me start with the point that whoever, you know, today's or yesterday's legal immigrants are, those people followed the rules, they're here, and we should, and for the most part, do welcome them. It's not their fault that Congress hasn't figured out how it should change immigration policy. My recommendations are for how we change future immigration policy. It's not a question of whether we do or don't welcome those legal immigrants who are here, but how I would change it is this way. My goal is not zero immigration. It's zero-based budgeting in immigration. In other words, start at zero and then say, okay, which narrowly defined groups of people are so important to let in for whatever other reason that we're going to let them in even though immigration can create problems? And that would be, first of all, husbands, wives, and little kids of American citizens. There's sort of no question about that. Even in the 20s when we shut immigration off, legitimate spouses and children of young children of U.S. citizens always got to come in. But that's a pretty big number. That's 250 or 300,000 people a year. Then a very small group of the top people in the world in their fields, real Einsteins. That's 10 or 15,000 people a year. And then 50,000, I would pick 50,000, you know, you could argue for a different number, of real refugees. And not just real refugees, but refugees for whom coming to America is the absolute last resort because nothing else is ever going to work out for them otherwise. You add that up, that's 300,000, 350,000 people a year. That's a lot of people, frankly, but it's 75% less than we take today, and I think would significantly lower the temperature, if you will, of this whole immigration debate and the effects that immigration has on our society.
Mark, you've explained culturally, economically, and politically why this is a smart move, in your opinion. As you know, those who have taken a strong position against illegal immigration have been branded by some as xenophobic, so I'm sure you've gotten that label as a result of your call to limit legal immigration. How do you respond to them?
Well, that's the whole premise of my book, is that it's not about the immigrants, it's about us. This has nothing to do with the characteristics of individual immigrants, how they're, you know, supposedly better or worse than us, or better or worse than earlier immigrants. There's no fault on their part. And frankly, in response to a lot of people on the left, there's no real fault on our part. Nobody's to blame here. It's that the problem is that this is a mismatch. This is a policy that is out of place for a modern society. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, middle-aged man wearing clothes that are really more suited to a teenager. It just doesn't fit. There's nothing wrong with the clothes. There's nothing wrong with the guy. It's just that they shouldn't be together in the same place. And it's kind of a similar situation here.
Mark, obviously there's been very slow going and changing policy in recent immigration debates. So how optimistic are you that substantive change will happen, and if it does, happen relatively soon?
Well, I mean, my book isn't, it's not like I expect, on August 24th, everything to be signed by the president. But the point is, that's not what the book is. I mean, my goal of my book is to try to change thinking on the issue. That having been said, we're already seeing some movement, at least in enforcing immigration laws and cutting down on illegal immigration, because for the past year, this administration unwillingly has started to let the Immigration Service start to do its job, and it's starting to work. We've got research coming out in a couple of weeks that suggests the illegal population has actually declined over the past year a decent amount, and that's the goal. We need attrition of the illegal population, not magically make it go away, but have it decline from one year to the next instead of keep growing to help us back out of this problem. And, you know, who knows what the next president's going to do, but so far we seem to be making a little bit of progress.
Mark, unfortunately, that'll have to be our last word. Thank you very much for your time today, and we certainly look forward to having you back.
Thanks for having me, and there's more information on the book at cis.org.
CIS.org is the website for the Center for Immigration Studies. Mark Kerkorian is the executive director of that organization. He is also author of the new book, The New Case Against Immigration, Both Legal and Illegal. This is Dateline Washington.